Welcome to the Good Vibes Club, a normal girl's guide to living your best life and being the best version of yourself. Whether you're listening on your commute, out on a hot girl walk, or curled up on your sofa, open your mind and get ready to feel those good vibes. As you can probably tell, I'm back with Hayley again, who is lifestyle Hello. Creator, internet bestie, all-round good vibes. And we are going to do round two. So our last episode, if you haven't listened, was all about therapy and learning to love who you are and finding self-love, being your own best friend, all that kind of stuff. And this episode is going to be all about how to be alone and how to be okay with being alone. So whether that's that you are wanting to live on your own, whether you need to find happiness just in yourself, or like find hobbies and stuff that you want, or maybe you want to go on solo holidays, like whatever it is, being okay in your own presence and not feeling the need to always be with other people or like always have background noise kind of thing.
It's very important. It's very important. And if you weren't already sick of us from the last episode, you're going to be sick of us after this one.
Well, I mean, it's a double whammy. Who knows how long we're going to talk for? But before we get started, let's have another good vibe of the week. Obviously, we've recorded these back to back, which you may know if you listened to the last episode, but give me another good vibe.
So Josh is bringing home one of my favorite foods from Manchester because he's in the office today.
What is it?
And this is so specific. If you live in Manchester, the Arndale the food market, not the market with the McDonald's and stuff in, but the food market that's got like the shit. This is so specific. I'm
McDonald's
so sorry.
McDonald's is in a market, lovely.
No, like, so there's like a food market in a shopping center and there's two. One of them has like independent companies and the other one is like Mackey's and Burger King and stuff. But one of the independent companies has this like Asian food place and it's incredible. And they do this like curry and he's bringing it home for me and that's excited. Lush. So that's a very random one, but that's my I'm very happy
that's
about
gonna
that.
Be the best dinner though. Oh my god,
I'm so happy.
Food makes me so happy.
My two have been so random. I'm so sorry. That's like the two weirdest choices for both of these podcasts.
I don't even know what my other one is. The sun has now started shining, so I guess that's one because it's now
I've
beautiful
sent it
outside,
over
which is lovely
during the recording because I've had it the whole time
this morning. I'm quite glad though because I'm going out to take some pictures with one of my friends, so I need all the good sunshine vibes. We need the golden hour glow. We need, you know, now we've got the sun till like 9 p.m. we're just making the most of after work shoot days and it's perfection when it's really nice outside.
It's a great time,
so much better.
I love my job in the summer so much more than I do in the
winter. 100%. It's so hard to do anything in winter. Like, I find the sun is so low that I can't actually film inside because the sunlight is too across the room. Does that make sense?
It's a bit intense.
Like,
yeah,
I can't film reels. It's impossible. But
this is such a specific issue just to ask that no one else listens.
Yeah, this is just such a influencer issue. But it is, I think, harder. So, you know, it's fine. Anyway, let's get into it. So, obviously, this episode is all about, like, learning how to be alone. And I feel like... Mm-hmm. We both have different experiences with it. So do you want to give
Let's touch
kind of
on
a
them.
Rounded
Do you
backstory?
Want me to go first or do you want to go first? I'm easy.
Do you want me to go first?
I feel like I'm just talking
Capricorn
too much.
Capricorn issues.
So. Look at me trying to people, please.
Okay, I'll
being
go
like
first.
So, please do.
Okay, so backstory. So I used to be terrible at being alone, like to the point where, so even pre-living alone, I used to be so bad at being on my own. Like if I went and had a shower, I'd have a podcast on. Like if I was going somewhere, I would call someone. Mm. I still do this, by the way. My boyfriend gets like 5 million calls a day. Yeah. So always on the phone, always going with people. Like if I had to be at home, like I would want someone else there or whatever. And I kind of, in the middle of all this, made a big decision to live on my own. So I'd broken up with an ex-boyfriend. Mm. I had the option of either moving in with like flatmates or moving on my own because I didn't have any friends who were like available to me moving at that time. So I kind of made this decision of like, okay, I'm going to live on my own. Like this will be fine. And I feel like I was so scared because I'd been told by people in my life that I would just be like so bad at living on my own. Like I'd never last, I'd never cope. Like, you know, when you just have other people kind of feeding something and you're already a little bit worried and they just kind of make you think that there's something bigger.
It just adds to the anxieties. It does.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It just adds to the issue. So I made the big jump to live alone and then I absolutely flipping loved it. Like I still, don't get me wrong, I still have people around a lot of the time, but I think it's taught me so much about myself and so much about who I am and what I'm about. And like alongside all of the stuff we talked about in the last episode to do with therapy and things, I think it's been such a big fundamental part of me being okay with being alone.
You know more about yourself if longer you sit with yourself, you naturally will learn more. Like if you're constantly distracting yourself, then, you know, you're not spending time with yourself. And yeah, to live alone is to, like, fundamentally spend time with yourself all the time. Like,
oh my god, honestly. Choice. Although I do think, alongside what we're saying, I do think that you also can learn to be alone in a relationship where you're living with someone, or like in a situation, sure, where you're living with other people. But
yeah, I think I feel like we need to have like a chunk of that to talk, yeah, about, because it's such a good topic to talk about. That one we're gonna we'll circle back to that one because that's important. Yeah.
But living alone, I do think, kind of fast tracks all of that, and it really pushes you out of your comfort zone. And I've actually spoken to friends who are kind of going through similar situations where they're like breaking up with a boyfriend, or they're maybe like just freshly living alone and stuff, and I've just said to them, like, I'm actually jealous of the journey you're about to go on, because it's hard, yeah, but like it's such an exciting, not time. jealous is the wrong word, but I'm like excited and like, just, you know, when you get all the feels about it, because you're like, I just know that you're going to become the best version of yourself and it's going to be so good for you. And I like, I loved that transformation, as hard as it was, because you just learn so much.
Oh yeah, you what get about it's yours? Been you get thrown in the deep end, basically.
Oh, 100%. As soon as you've moved in, you have everyone there helping you move in, and then on that first night alone, you're like, oh, this is very quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. So mine was during 2020, which was a rough year to live alone. So I didn't start 2020 living alone, because I was in a previous relationship and then that kind of broke down. And then I was basically stayed in the same place and lived alone in that place, because it always felt more like my place anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like my furniture, my stuff, my like essence,
like
was
kind of home, in
the flat. Yeah, it felt like home. And I was like, I'm stubborn, so I was like, I'm not moving because of you. So I was like, I'm gonna make this place great in the space for me. So yeah, I lived alone during COVID for about like 10-11 months, maybe 10 months, something like that. But I think I've always joked, and my friends have always joked as well, that it felt like years because of the restrictions that were in place during COVID times and lockdown and stuff. It was like, I wasn't just alone, I was like physically alone in my house. Yeah. And I couldn't go and see anybody really in you know, the way that a lot of people, if anybody's living alone now or thinking about living alone or is going to be in a situation where they're going to be living alone, it's, you've got more options.
Yeah,
I had my one walk a day and I clung on to it for dear life. But yeah, so that was me. It was during COVID. And I loved my apartment that I was in as well. And like you say, actually, I look back on that time incredibly fondly. There were times where it was rough, obviously, but I look back and I'm like, oh, that was so good. That was just so nice. And I've never actually lived with friends, which is something that I maybe will eventually look back and be like, oh, I kind of wish I had done that. But I didn't go to university. All my friends went to university. So the time never kind of came around for me to live with friends, which was kind of just like, it was just a coincidental situation thing. But yeah, this was my first time. And I did love it once I kind of came to terms with it all. And there's something really nice about having an entire space that's just for you. You don't have to accommodate anyone else's things. You don't have to accommodate anyone else's tastes. And every cupboard is full of your own food. No one's going to pinch the last snack in the cupboard and then you'd be like, where's my snack?
Well, you say that when a boyfriend comes over and half your food's suddenly gone off like one night and you're like,
That is true. But it's nice though. I always felt quite, especially when I did end up then seeing Josh, it gave me quite a nice sense of power because it was my space. Like you were coming into my space and this is all my space kind of thing. And it was as a woman, I found that quite nice.
Yeah.
Like it felt safer to me actually than just going to like a guy's house. I was like, you can come to mine. This is my space. These are my boundaries. It's literally, I know everything in this space. There's nothing's gonna jump out at me. It'll be fine. But
it's,
I love
so
my
nice.
Flat.
Yeah.
I did love my flat. And also like my actual flat I loved because I was really lucky. I was like on the water and I had balconies and stuff, and I was single over and like living alone over like summertime. So I kind of spent a lot of time on that balcony just like chilling, listening to music, and it was great. It was so good. But it's a real self-discovery journey living on your own.
It's really intense. It's like the weirdest. I don't even think you can really explain what it's like.
No.
Because it's just so different. But I just remember when I was like about to be living on my own, I remember listening to a podcast and I can't remember who it was now, but they were like, when you first move in on your own, because I genuinely was terrified. I was like, I'm so excited, but I'm terrified. Like, I can't wait to decorate and I can't wait to have
people
over.
It's a big unknown.
But,
there's a
lot
of question marks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to this podcast and they were like, whatever you do when you live on your own, like you'll notice that you fill your time with people. Obviously yours is different because you were in COVID and stuff, but
me filling like, my time
fill your
by
time.
Like actually
I was quite
doing
lucky
my morning
mine
stories.
Was like, mine was like just it was like post first lockdown, like just before we had that weird November month that we were in lockdown. So yeah, I was like, it was like August time. Yeah. So like it was kind of just between the two. So like things had started opening up, but it wasn't fully open. So like you could socialize, but you couldn't really socialize.
Yeah. Like middle ground.
Yeah. So it was quite nice. And it was that weird, like, post first lockdown when you could like have people over and see people, but you had to wear masks everywhere before they started adding all the other weird restrictions again.
So
this podcast was like, just fill your time with people. So when I moved, I had friends help me move in, and then like every single day, I it literally was exactly as she'd said on this podcast, but it was like every day was like filled to the most part of the day was filled with people. So I'd be out for like the majority of the day. And then slowly as the weeks went on, like the time that I was out the house got less and less, to the point where I was like, actually, I just want to be at home. Yeah, I just want to be at home on my own. And it was so nice. And I think having all those people around at first just made it feel so much more like cozy and homely. And it felt more like my little like slice of heaven. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it kind of like you got used to the space before you got used to being alone in the space, which is quite nice.
Very much.
But I guess yours is similar because you were already used to your space and you just had to get used to
it. Yeah, so I didn't have that kind of like fear of a new place, which I think was very helpful actually, especially also because it was like off a breakup too. So it's like there was a lot of levels to it. But yeah, I mean, my flat was my safe space. It really was. I used to call it my sanctuary because there's a scene in, I don't know if you've seen Lemony Snicket, the movie, not the series, the original film. Okay. So if everybody wants to take a second to go onto YouTube, but you have to come back to the podcast. You can't just leave. If there's a scene, it's like, basically if you type in Lemony Snicket movie sanctuary scene, Jude Law narrates the movie, so he's Lemony Snicket, and there's basically a scene, and I used to watch it with my dad all the time, and it's like so dear to my heart. And I had a keyring made actually that said sanctuary, and it had the like the geolocation of exactly where my flat was on it. And he basically talks about like it's a safe space, like a safe space in a troubling world, and it's like an island in a stormy sea, and it's like the most beautiful poetic. If you need to go and listen to it, because it's really beautiful. It's a section from the book that they used in the movie, and it's the most beautiful description. But essentially in the movie, it's about these orphan children who are kind of moving around into different houses, and the sister makes this little tent and puts like a light in it, and they just spend the night in it, and that's what it is, and that's their little sanctuary for the day. And I feel like your sanctuary that's can be so in a lot cute. Of places. Yeah, but for me that flat was my sanctuary, and my dad used to joke about it all the time, and that was always a thing for me with that flat, which is actually really quite touching to think about it.
that was
my sanctuary, and now my house that I'm in now is definitely my sanctuary as well, because I feel very lucky. I've been very lucky that the two places I've lived in independently, because I bought this place, they are of a cozy nature. Like I've been able to find places that really feel like me. Like I'll just go sit in my garden now, and that is my sanctuary, my safe space. And I'll look at the sheep, because I have sheep right at the back of my house, which is
it's
ridiculous.
So important though, isn't it? Like I think you have to have the right vibe. And I find like this flat here, I hadn't seen it because I got it like fresh off the back of COVID. So I moved in here.
Were you able to view it, or was it like
mid-2021? No.
Okay, that's a whole thing.
I couldn't view because they were like, oh, isolation. But it was really annoying because it was at a point where like COVID wasn't really a thing anymore, and they were just being knickety. But they wouldn't let me view it because they were shielding or whatever the term was.
The tail end of it, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like August 2021 that I moved in here. So like literally off the back end of the second COVID. And I remember being like, oh my God, like I've got this perfect little haven in London. Like, what if I can't find this perfect little haven where I need it to be? And it ended up being like, there is a whole episode talking about manifesting this house and whatever. But like, it's so important to have that like cozy vibe, because I think the vibe of a house is so important. Like I've lived in flats where like the vibe is just so off, and it just makes your whole mood different. And it just, it doesn't have like the sanctuary vibe. Like you need that cozy, like, home.
It's so important, it really is. And especially when you live alone, it's even more important, because you need to come home, close the door, and be like, ah, decompress. I always, whenever people come to here, or whenever people, which is something I take major pride in, and people used to come to my flat, they'd always be like, I feel so relaxed here, or I feel like I could fall asleep, or anything like that. And I'm like, yes, perfect.
I love when people fall asleep on my sofa, because I'm like,
want you to feel safe, and I want you to feel welcome, and I want you to feel cozy, and I want you to feel comfortable, and I don't want you to feel like you have to put on this kind of like do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, put on this kind of, like, awkward, like, formal kind of... I wanted it to feel informal, but also look cozy and cute. And I feel like that's something I've been able to do here, and I treasure that very much. But also, I think if you are doing it for other people, you also, by default, do it for yourself. So if you're making it cozy so that when people come round, it's a cozy space, you will benefit from that too. And you should also just be doing it for yourself, because it's just great. I loved living alone. I really did. And I feel like living alone just allows you to learn a lot about yourself, but it can be a bit rough at times. I'm not going to say it's like all smooth sailing. It's not great. Sometimes I'd be like, I haven't spoken to anyone in like 3 days.
That's, I think, what can be the hard part, because if you've got a lot of people around you who are living with boyfriends or parents or whatever, I think it can be quite hard. Yeah, and people don't always... Like, everyone's in their own little world, and I think some, like, we're all guilty of it, but you forget to, like, check in on the people who aren't living with other people and stuff.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I think that can be the hard part when you're like, oh, I'm just sat here and no one's checked on me in 3 days and I haven't spoke to anyone in 3 days. Which, I mean, to be fair, I'm always calling people and voice noting and texting. Like, I'm always trying to, like, keep, especially voice notes, because I think it's so important to, like, keep talking. But before I moved, because James is, like, moving in at the moment, so by the time this goes live, I think he'll actually be in, like, properly. But I mean, he's basically lived here for, like, months, but he just is officially,
but it feels
like,
more official when someone moves in. Josh moved into my flat and I was like, oh, this is different. This feels different.
As soon as they move in, like, as soon as he gets the keys back for his place, like, that's when it will be official.
That's
but it's weird, like you said, you can go days. Like, don't get me wrong, it is amazing sometimes because you can just enjoy your balcony or your garden or whatever, or your whatever, but there is sometimes where you could be here,
it's lonely,
and you could, like, you could get up,
it is,
and have not left. So say you leave on like a Friday night, I don't know, you could get to Sunday morning and be like, oh, I literally didn't even open my front door yesterday, like I used to go to my door
and it would be locked from like 2 days before then, and I'd be like, oh, my door has been locked, I have not touched that for like 3 days. Yeah, and you don't realize until it happens, and then you're like,
physically spoken. Yeah, like carry on.
No, I was just gonna say, I don't know if you find this with, because we do the same job, what I've found, and I noticed especially when living alone, which I've kind of rectified by actually just like communicating this to my friends and family, but when I lived alone, because people watched me online every day, they kind of felt like they didn't need to check in with me because they'd seen that I was doing okay. And I know this is quite specific to our work, so it might not resonate with a ton of people, but it's an interesting dynamic. I had to kind of have conversations with people being like, I don't share my entire day online. I'm not going to sit and tell you the ins and outs of everything I'm feeling every day. Mm-hmm. So I might be presenting as having a good, great day, but actually something crap might have happened at 3 o'clock and I just want to talk to someone about it. But if nobody asks, because they're like, oh, she's good, she's doing fine. I had that quite a lot, and I had to actually put that, not, it's not a boundary, but I kind of had to tell people, like, you also, I would also appreciate it if you checked in outside of that. Because, and I understand. Yeah. And also I think sometimes, and I know this is off topic, but this also falls into the why influencers and content creators get a bad rep sometimes, because people just assume that everything is easy breezy all the time, because
that's all the people are seeing. Amazing lives, loads of money,
and for some reason,
like,
people forget that, like, it's our job to post content every day, and it is a job, therefore we thought about what we're posting, and you're not going to see every, it's the same as like celebrities and like people who do magazine interviews, that's not their entire life, you don't hold
but
them
to. But you know
to...
what, I also find it with, like, so say, like, okay, this is not the best term, but I would say, like, quote unquote, like, normal person's Instagram.
Yeah,
they also will only post the highlights.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just a really blown up version of it. We're just a really big version of that, essentially.
It's so difficult though, because there is, like, and I think a lot of, because of COVID as well, and because of all the lockdown situation, there is so many people who were working in, like, offices who are now, like, exclusively working from home. Like, one of my best friends, she exclusively works from home, but in an office, if that makes sense. So, like, she works at home but online all day, 9 till 5 or whatever the time is, like, all day just sat in front of that screen. And it's the same, like, if she lived on her own, it would be the same as us, where it's like, do you leave the house? And, like, I guess we've got more opportunity of that because we can up and just walk
out, for work.
It's so hard.
I also think there's probably, just thinking about it, because that's kind of springing this in my mind, there will be partners that live alone or friends that live alone where one of you is still in the office and one of you isn't. And then by default, actually one of you is kind of thrown into living alone for a portion of your week, you know, like 9 to 5. If one of you is at home and the other one is out, you're then kind of living alone for those middle hours of the day. And that's probably something that's quite new for a lot of people too. And I don't know, do you have any kind of things that you would ensure that you were doing when you lived alone to kind of just, I don't want to say enhance your experience, because living alone is a great experience, but kind of things that you were checking in with yourself to make sure that you were doing? And then we can kind of lead into hobbies, because I feel like this kind of nicely flows in.
I think, so obviously technically I still kind of live on my own at the moment.
Yes.
And it's been like 3 years, so I feel like I've got quite good at like knowing.
You've had like an integrated someone moving in situation, which is kind of nice.
Oh God, he's basically lived here for months, but he just doesn't physically actually live here. Like, it's really bizarre. But I feel like there's, like, I've got really good at knowing if I'm in this mood, I need to be doing this kind of thing. If I'm in this mood, I need to do this kind of thing. Oh shit, I've not left the house in days. Like, this is weirdly
checking in.
Part of the reason I go to the gym is so I leave the house every day. So make sure that every morning, like 5 days a week in the mornings, I'm going to the gym. And the reason I do it, yes, is for fitness. Yes, is for like wanting to be healthier
other
and
things,
stuff. But also just so I'm actually leaving the house. So I know if I've been to the gym in the morning, at least I've left the house. Although I don't speak to people in the gym. So that's like, I don't actually have
the social interaction. Elsewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'll be like talking to friends on voice note and stuff. But I find that at least then I've left the house. So I have like little things like that. So I always make sure that I've done that in my week. Or if I'm really feeling isolated, because I feel like sometimes, even if I'm in a really good mood, I feel like I'm a bit like this. Like, I feel like I'm just in my little box and I've not really seen anything other than my little box for a day.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure that I like get out and go for a walk, or I'll just, you know, go into town and work in a coffee shop or whatever. But I think in the evenings when you're kind of away from the working environment, or on a weekend when you're on your own, it's so important to find those hobbies and like just find things that give you joy and like have a few of them, because I in my head, so I'll do things like, I've got reading that I love doing, or I've got like, I'll sit and journal for a bit if I want to do that, or I'll find series that I really enjoy that I know no one else in my life will watch with me, like Grey's Anatomy, for example, and I'll sit and like watch that on my own, because I know that that's like a little piece of my time
that's important to you.
No one enjoys with me. Like, I'm not going to be a binge cheat for watching it. Like, I'm just going to enjoy that by myself. Or like something crafty, which I know isn't for everyone. I know not being people like that kind of thing, but weirdly I put it on my stories about a year ago and I was like, what do you enjoy doing in your free time? And I had so many people say knitting. Like, it actually surprised me how many people enjoy knitting.
I think COVID really kind of incited a lot of creativity in a lot of people, because it was just filling a void, because obviously a lot of people were furloughed, so you just were trying to fill some time. I think a lot of creative good stuff came from that, actually. And then I think it's kind of bled out into people who didn't get into it. They're like, oh, look at all these people knitting, or going to clay classes, pottery classes.
Oh my God, I was about to say, the pottery. Like, me and James bought a stack of clay.
I really want to go to a pottery class.
Oh my God, have you seen, there's one called Carb Club in London and they do Harry Styles themed pottery days.
That's fun.
That they literally play Harry Styles music and you make like pottery and people will do like all kinds of things.
Nice.
It's so cool. Yeah.
Love that.
Shout out to them, because I really want to go to one. They do like different music people, but sounds great.
Let's go and record a podcast in there.
Could you imagine it'd be like clink, 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 clink?
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be great. It'd probably
no, we'll do a video only podcast.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah.
Oh my God, we're actually going to do this.
That'd be fun.
We actually need to.
Yeah. I'd go film a pottery class. We talk about something deep.
Watch this space.
Please let us know if you would like to watch us go and do an activity while we try and talk about something relevant and important.
But you know what? I actually think if that was the case and you did that, I reckon they'd probably be like, yeah, take the space over. Just the two of you, like, do it.
Could go on tour, we could have everybody come and join the classes, it'd be a whole thing.
So, you know, last episode we were talking about the co-host thing, I feel like it's kind of
oh God, it's evolved.
It's getting more in depth now than it was.
Oh my God, it's just evolved into a pottery making tour. I mean, not gonna lie, I'd go. I'd buy that.
I really want to go and do it. It'd be so
it's
fun.
Good social thing.
Do it
we've
in like
got,
a social
we've
environment.
Really just jumped off a cliff on that one, but
we've
I'm really
tangented.
Happy.
But it's still a hobby, it's still something that can be enjoyed. But
it's
what would you
hobby.
Say what would you say your things are that you do when you're like, I really need to, like, I'm alone, I feel a bit lonely, I need to do something, but there's no one around.
I feel like when I lived alone, I wasn't great at it because I think I was doing a lot of adapt. Like, there was a lot of change that happened at once. Mm-hmm. I would go on what I liked to call sad girl walks. So basically, I refused, and at the time it was a coping mechanism, but I actually don't think it was a bad one. I refused to cry about certain things in my flat, mm-hmm. because I was like, this is my safe space. And I just refused for certain. I was like, protecting my peace, if that makes sense.
I get that completely, yeah.
I am about to get sad about something that actually makes me quite annoyed because it's something I shouldn't be having to get sad about. And therefore, this is my safe space and I don't want it to impact on that. So I would go on walks and be sad on my walk and maybe have a little cry, maybe do that thing where you listen to like a piece of music because you know it's going to make you cry. And actually I find that incredibly cathartic. It's like one of my, it's probably like some of the best emotional releases I've ever had have been like walking, listening to music. And that's been very healing for me at the time. But yeah, I'd go on sad girl walks a lot. I would try and, I've always struggled with like nurturing myself with like eating well.
Yeah.
So my mum, bless her, would check in on me quite a lot. But my mum also lived alone when she was single, when my parents split up for a while. So I've caught a lot of habits from living with her at the time. And there were a few times where she'd be like, she'd text me and she'd be like, have you just had cheese and crackers for dinner? And I'd be like, yeah, babes, I have. But, you know, whatever. And at the time, that was what I wanted. But it was trying to make sure that I kept myself nurtured, I think, was the thing that I had to keep track of the most, because there wasn't someone else being like, oh, I've noticed you've not had dinner, do you want me to cook you something? You've got to do it all yourself.
I think cooking is one of the hardest parts of living alone, because cooking portions. For one person is so, portion sizes are one thing,
chicken breasts are a pack of two.
But even like I end up with like every meal I cook, I used to always leftovers. Just end up with like a leftover for the next day, which is kind of handy because then you can't be asked to cook. And
but then you
something.
Eat the same thing 2 days in a row, and that can sometimes get a little bit like,
so
annoying.
So what I used to do is I'd cook something for 2 days, cook something for 2 days, and then I'd have it like alternating for four.
Ah, that's really smart.
Because it can stay for a couple of days. But I do think cooking for one is so difficult. Like that's the bit it's I difficult. Really struggle with, because like I've got, I mean, me and James kind of cook separately because we just like different things. But I find it really hard, like cooking for one person, because finding that motivation to cook when you just can't be asked, and like there's no mouth you need to feed. You haven't got a child who needs feeding. You're just like, eh.
Also ordering like a Deliveroo for one person is more expensive because you're not splitting.
Why is it
cost.
So expensive? Oh my god!
And also minimum order. Yeah, small order cost. God, yeah.
This is why you order two and you have it the next day.
That's true. That is very true. But it's all these things where it's like you just got to keep an eye. Yeah.
Yeah. I always order Starbucks, and I have to like, I'll order an iced one, and then I'll order a normal one, and then there'll be like a bottle of water and like a ginger shot, just to try and make it up to like whatever price
Please
it is
let me
to
have
make
my
it cheaper.
Coffee.
But then actually, we're probably spending more money.
I got when I was in that flat, I got that monthly prep membership when it first came out, and it wasn't as expensive as it is now. And every single time I'd go on a walk, I'd get myself a prep and I'd go for a walk. And that was really nice. That was really nice for me. That was a routine. I also think living alone routines are important, but don't like obsess over them too much. Because I think if you haven't got someone else there to be like, calm it, then you can get a bit like too involved in a routine. But that was a really nice part of my day that I would look forward to. I would go on a walk every single day. But like I say, if I was sad, I would choose to go on a sad girl walk, as I would call them to my friends. I'd be like, I'm on a sad girl walk.
But also a sad girl walk still means you're like getting out in fresh air, like you're getting some steps in, you're just, like we
but
said in the last one, it's like a nice little thing to just get your cortisol levels down.
Oh my God, it's great. It just gets your body going. And it's a form of exercise as well that doesn't feel intimidating for people who struggle with exercise, because that's a whole thing. You know, everybody has different tolerances, like we were talking about in the last episode, for different things, and certain people's exercise tolerance, and not from a fitness level, but just from like a feeling comfortable level. Walking's great, because you can listen to music, you can listen to a podcast, you can walk with a friend, you can call somebody. It's always a great time. I always used to sometimes call my granddad when I go for a walk.
Me too.
And then
I'd
chat
to
him for a while. Yeah, but it's like, it's nice because you can always get distracted really easily with different things, and it actually sometimes allows you to take time for other things, like calling people that you wouldn't normally pick. You'd like, if you're in the house, you can always, or you're at home in your flat, whatever, you can always find something to do. There's always something you can pick up and then not call someone, not whatever. So that was always a really nice thing for me. But because I guess we're in slightly different situations now, in that you're still living alone, soon not to be living alone. But I've been living with Josh now for like 1.5 years. So no, 2 years, almost 2 years. So that, for me, there was a big adaptation into how can I still carve out time for myself. And this kind of leans into the hobbies as well. So I feel like these can go hand in hand while we're talking about it. But it took me a while from me personally, from bad past relationships where I didn't feel like I had the space to be myself, or I lost myself in relationships, which I think people can do super easily if aware of it. Like I would just start morphing into, okay, well, I'll just spend time doing something you want to do. And I also think that leans, and I don't know if this is the same with you, but I feel like it might be, this doesn't go well when you're a people pleaser, because you won't say that you don't want to do something. You won't say that you'd rather do your thing. You just kind of go along with someone else's. So I've kind of had that in the past, and Josh is kind of the first person to kind of been like, well, you can just do whatever you want. Like, it's fine. And that was so weird to me. So strange.
Do you know what I find weird as well? Like, so I always, like, I've lived with friends before, like at university and like boyfriends and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, when you're almost like forced to be alone. So like if they're like, oh, I'm going out with my friends tonight, and you don't, like, that, not that they ever should give you more warning, but you know when you're kind of like, you get to 7 p.m. and you're like, oh, obviously we're just gonna have a night on the sofa watching TV, like we always do.
And
that.
Then
like,
the plans change.
And then they'll be like, oh, I'm actually just off out with Bob and Phil, and you're like, oh, okay. Okay, now I don't know
it's
what I'm doing with my night.
To do. Yeah.
And
it's
I
like
used
not,
to be so bad at that. Like, I was so codependent that I would be, not even intentionally, but like I just would
I
be
think
like,
a lot of
I
people
do
it completely unintentionally. It's a subconscious thing. I think it depends on so many factors, so many external factors.
It's
but
so
I think
interesting though, isn't it?
You have to be able to realize you're doing it, and that's the thing. If you can realize you're doing it, you're doing great. Even if you still do it, as long as you know you're doing it and it's not a subconscious thing, then I think it's so much better.
Although, but it's so interesting how it happens.
It is.
Like, you could be so okay, but then the minute it's sprung on you to be on your own, you're like, oh, god,
yeah. But I've kind of found, what do I do? I have been reading a lot. Reading is like a really healing thing for me.
I love
and
reading.
It's just, I read a lot when I was younger, and then I went through a couple phases of really being into reading, but I would say I haven't been properly into reading for a few years now. But I think it was like three, probably less than that actually. And I've read like 12 books in the past like 3 months, which is just insane.
Oh my god, that's so good.
I read two books at once, which was, Josh was looking at me like, you're insane. I was reading two completely different books at the same time, just like jumping between.
I've done that though. I will read like one on my Kindle and one physical, and then I get confused between the stories sometimes. I'm like, hang on a minute.
I tried to pick, I tried to pick things that were really different. But that for me has been really good. I started with the ACOTAR series, which is like a fantasy series that I really enjoyed, that really got me into it. And also I've been reading books with like some spicy scenes in them, because that makes me happy. That makes me feel like a great version of myself, because there's something really freeing in that. It does. But it's like, it's funny, I can't explain it. It's like a confidence thing. I feel like sometimes when you're in a relationship, you can lose the spark of being single and being flirty and being fun. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think it's really hard to keep that going when you're in a relationship or whatever. And weirdly, just reading stuff like that, I was like, this makes me feel confident in myself, because I'm like, I'm reading something and I'm like, oh, makes me feel a bit giddy, and I'm like, this is good, because this is, and it's also being in a relationship with someone who is able to not be threatened by that, because I know there's a lot of, I'm going to say toxic people, because it is a very toxic thing to do that would probably not let somebody do that, which is insane to me.
Do you know what I find really bizarre as well? You know when it's like, this is so not on topic, but it relates to what you just said. You know when it's like boys who get insecure when girls like will masturbate? Like, I find it so weird. I'm like, you should be able to enjoy yourself.
Or it's like, this is, we're going into a deep dive here, but this can be another episode. But it's like, all men that are like super threatened by like sex toys and stuff like
weird.
That's like so it's weird. A teammate babes, teammate, not an opposition. They're your teammate. It's great, you know. So it's things like that, but it's all of that I think links into the same thing. And I know we were literally just talking about books, but the spicy scenes in the books have just made me feel like it's fun. I also, not to get too dark and a bit off topic, but like I've been through finishing therapy and doing some like self-work and stuff, realized that I have like a little bit of, I would say, sexual trauma from when I was younger that I'm trying to work through, which is like a whole thing to navigate. But actually reading about these people being confident in themselves and forward and fabulous and flirty has made me want to be like that again in my relationship. Yeah. And it's so freeing. And I think if you find, and I get this from loads of different types of books, but just that's what I got from those books, which I thought was really interesting, because going into it, I was like, nah, this isn't what I'm, why would that be something I'll get from reading about some like mystical land of winged muscular men and like very beautiful women. Like, I was having a great time.
Yeah, but it is so true. Like, that's the whole point of like the like fictional books, though. Like, they take you to somewhere.
It's escapism. Yeah, it's fantastic. So,
like, I, in lockdown, I still kind of do it now, but not with the baths, because my God, it's too hot. But I used to have times, and I would be like, do you know what? I'm going to go run myself a bath, get a nice little bath bomb or like some bath salts or something, set a timer on my phone for like an hour and put it like across the room. And I would literally just get in the bath and I would just read for an hour until the timer went off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, the timer would go off and I'd be like, oh, that was so nice. Whereas like, if I was kind of to say, I'm just going to get in the bath and read for a bit, I'd probably read for like 5 minutes. My phone would be there. Then I'd end up scrolling. Then I'd be like editing a picture, texting some friends. Like, you know, you're just like, oh, well, that was rubbish. Whereas I ended up actually having better reading time. And like, now I still do it, but it will be like on the sofa, or I'll get into bed half an hour early, or like sit on the balcony or something. Yeah.
It really is.
And I think it's a good escapism that isn't like watching TV.
Because you can do, so for me, like a lot of like fantasy and fiction and stuff is great, because it takes me completely out of my own situation. Mm-hmm. So if I'm worrying about something, stressed about something, just, or I'm sitting around and I'm finding that my mind is just wandering, I can just completely sit and read and lose myself. There's not many things as an adult now that my frontal lobe has developed that actually I can sit and like lose myself in. And I miss that from being a child, actually. That's like something I feel like I grieve quite often, which is just that like childish wonder where you can just sit and play with like a bloody stick for like 2 hours and it's like the best thing you've ever done in your life. But you lose that as an adult. But actually reading in any capacity, like the fantasy stuff, I find quite proper escapism because it's a different bloody world. But any kind of fiction,
like it's completely warped reality.
Yeah, like romance novels, great. It's like watching like a period drama on Netflix. Mm. It's just you're reading it instead. Or just like sometimes you just want to read like the awful, like cheesy novels that are just fantastic. And then sometimes you'll read something heavy that actually you learn something about yourself while you're reading, or you get super moved by these characters. And then obviously, like we were touching on in the last episode, you've got all the nonfiction books you can read. I've read some fantastic nonfiction books or memoirs from really interesting people. There's so many different types of things you can get into, and I know there's reading so isn't for everybody, but you can gain so much from so many different genres, and I've found that incredibly great. And what I'll do is I'll sit and read on the sofa and Josh will play video games, and that's like our time in the evening. And actually I find that it feels like I'm very close. And but for a while I would kind of, don't get me wrong, I enjoy actually watching people play video games. When I was living alone, I would actually just put like gameplays on YouTube for like hours. It would just be like in the background.
I used to do this. So when I was falling asleep when I'm falling asleep sometimes, I'll watch people playing The Sims.
Yeah, but it's nice. So I would do that. I would literally just sit and watch, or have in the background in my flat, I would have that going on. So for a long time I would just sit and watch Josh, because actually I find it really helpful. But then it would kind of get to the point where I was like, am I doing this because in this current moment that's what I want to do, or am I doing this because he happens to be wanting to play video games at this moment and I therefore will sit and watch him? And I kind of was like, sometimes yes and actually sometimes no. And that was a huge realization for me in a relationship, was it's like, okay, actually I want to do something else, and also not feeling guilty about that. And that for me is from past people, but there was a huge guilt for me to actually carve out time for myself, or I'd feel,
but
like,
it's good,
it's great, it's like the best thing you can do. Or I'll go and sit in the garden, especially with the sun at the moment and the weather being so nice. I'll take myself on a walk, I will go and sit in the garden and read, I'll go and sit in the garden and listen to some music. I will watch, I guess because he's in the office too sometimes, and I obviously work from home every day, I will watch, like you said, the trashy series that actually you don't have to feel guilty when you are like carrying on without somebody. You know, if they want to dib in and out, that's fine. And my friends have that with their roommates and stuff, not necessarily just partners, where you'll have certain shows that you're watching with people and you'll have certain shows that you're watching without people. Mm-hmm. And going back to living alone, I would sometimes watch stuff in tandem on FaceTime with a friend, and that was really nice too. Or you'd start watching, you could watch a show at the same time, read a book at the same time and have like a little book club. There's so many things you can do that feel social without you physically having to actually be around people, which I think is really helpful.
I think
it's kind of a barrier sometimes.
On the like doing things independently but sitting together as well, I think it's so important, because I think when you not necessarily just live with someone, but I think when you're in a relationship or you're in some kind of partnership of some sort, so even if it's roommates or whatever, I think you can get so easily sucked into like just doing things together all the
time,
and you kind of lose that like ability to be alone. And I think it's so important.
I don't think you even realize it happens sometimes.
No, you don't. And I think it's so normal to have that.
Yeah.
But I think it's quite nice to be able to be like, do you know what? We're in a relationship. We're living together, whatever the situation might be. But actually, like, I'm okay. Like, I could go do my own thing. Or we can sit together and do our own thing. And I have this big thing about, like, you should always be a whole person. So, like, in a relationship, you can codepend so easily. But I think if you're two whole people that have come together, you almost just...
It's very enriching.
I don't know how to explain it the best way, but you can kind of almost just be okay with like sitting and doing different things. Yeah. And it's not like you're so dependent. Like, you know, if that person went tomorrow, yes, you'd be upset, but like, you know that you'd be okay, and you know who you are, and you know what you've got, and you know that you're fine being alone, rather than being like, oh, well...
A big question mark.
I'm now on my own, and I actually, I don't know what to do with myself, because like, I could sit and watch TV, but that's what I did with them. And like, you just kind of lose track of what you've
having
got.
Having your own things are important, because actually it gives you, it's like, it's legs to stand on if you're ever spending time with yourself, which is super important. Super important.
At the end of the day, the only person in this world that you've really got is yourself. So you have to learn to like yourself, and you have to learn to be okay with yourself.
We're stuck with us.
But what would you say? So let's go back to like hobbies, because I feel like we go off on so many tangents. So with hobbies, like, what would you say, like, have you always had things that were hobbies, or would you say there's like things that have evolved into hobbies, or like, how would you say that you come about a new hobby? Like, say if you've got someone listening who's like, I have no hobbies, like, you're talking about reading, great, but I don't like reading. Like, you're talking about gaming, but I don't like gaming. Like, how would you say?
I would say I've probably struggled to find stuff, only because, like I was saying before, my natural sort of state in past relationships is kind of been that I felt like I couldn't, so I would probably lean more on when I was living alone for this kind of thing. But I would always kind of just gravitate towards things that made me feel comfortable, and also just trying stuff that might not work, you know, just giving it a go. I think the things that feel scary with regards to that is normally when it involves a social element. So hobbies, like we were talking about, like a pottery class, there's a social element to that, because there'll always be other people in the room. I think it's trying to figure out if what you actually need is social time with an activity, or do you need an activity to do with yourself? Because those are two very different things. Because I think if it's more of a social thing, there's a lot of options that you can kind of just try out. But when you're sat with yourself, it kind of has to be something you really enjoy, because you won't do it otherwise. You'll just put it to the side and be like, ah, nah, can't be bothered. I don't like that. We're not doing that.
Yeah, like, you get the things that are like fitness classes or pottery class, like a class, or like an activity that's like around other people, or you get the things that you do on your own, like something creative. Like, I, for example, I always talk about this and I find it so funny. So my family, like my grandma, my mum, my auntie have always done cross stitch. Like, my auntie used to have a shop where she sold her cross stitch and stuff. And it's always been something that was like, I was always around it, and like knitting and stuff. So for me, I always saw it as like what my mum and my grandma and my auntie would do as like a really calming thing. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll try it. And like, for me, I don't do it a lot, and I have to like not buy the ones that are like hideous. I have like a Harry Potter one, obviously. And like, when I'm alone in the evening, sometimes if my brain is working overtime, sometimes I'll just put on like a really easy background series, like Friends or something, and I'll literally just sit and do it, because my brain is so focused on this, but I'm hearing that, and like,
it's full of other stuff.
It kind of like filters out all the other stuff, and then I go to bed and I'm like, oh, I feel really relaxed. Like, it just kind of washes everything else off. And it's not something I have to be around other people, because I think, like you said, you get the social element. I think sometimes, like, I struggle with it, and I think a lot of other
people
struggle.
Sometimes I don't
like,
want the social element.
Or you go to a class and it's like, well, like, so for example, I went to one of my friends dragged me to a book. Well, I say dragged, she didn't really drag me. She invited me to a boxing class with her, and I was like, do you know what? She really loves it. Maybe I'll like it. I went, I didn't really like it that much. And if it wasn't for her going, I wouldn't go on my own.
You wouldn't have even tried it.
Yeah, because I didn't want to enter a room with all these people I didn't know, and I didn't want to have to like feel awkward standing there like, oh, I need to get to know new people, like, oh, this is really weird.
Not everybody's so great in social tricky. Situations, and that's fine.
And there like, are so many hobbies that are not sociable hobbies.
There are, for sure. I always just like things that distract me. So like I like mm-hmm. I when I'm in the mood to cook, I love cooking. Cooking.
I tried gardening.
I'm trying to get into gardening. I tried gardening when I was in the flat, but then I fell through the balcony, which is a whole story. Did you see that video? Have you not?
I feel like I saw a leg. Was there like a, you've ruined your leg my or leg, something?
My leg fell through the balcony. So that was the whole thing. And then that I bring that up every year. But yeah, that was me. Because the only reason I got it on film is because I was trying to film in lockdown while I was living alone, this like project to redo my balcony for myself and then ended up in A&E. So that wasn't great. So I didn't really pick that one up for a while.
Great but content.
I know, it was fantastic. And you know, it got me some views on TikTok when I put it up the other month because I forgot about it. And then every time it comes up, I'm like, oh, what a time that was back in lockdown when I fell through the balcony. But now we have an actual garden. Granted, it's not like a fully lawned garden, but there's like some bedding and stuff. I'm actually trying to be okay at gardening. Like, and by okay at gardening, I mean like watering the plants every day. That's like my go-to.
It's hard
but
to
now
remember,
I'm
though.
Taking like 10 minutes though every day where I go outside and I water my plants. It's actually really therapeutic. Like, it's really relaxing.
It's like me and my little tomato seeds. Like, exactly. I just go out and I check them, I make sure they're watered, and it just makes me feel happy when I see them. I'm like, oh
yeah. I found gaming very therapeutic in lockdown, and I know when you say gaming, it kind of like there's some very stereotypical kind of ideals around it, but for me, like, there's some really stunning visuals and a lot of it's like cozy gaming. Like, if you Google cozy gaming, that is the kind of vibe that I love. And don't get me wrong, I love a good, like, I played Fallout a lot, which is like a post-apocalyptic game, and Skyrim and stuff. But I got a Switch in the first lockdown, as everybody did, because Animal Crossing came out too. And that was fantastic, and I loved that. And then I found this game, was it last year, but it's called Spiritfarer, and it's the most beautiful game. And I felt like I was reading a book, because it's an immersive kind of storyline. The visuals are stunning. The music is calming. And you basically own this boat, and these different animals come onto your boat. But basically it's spirits passing between like the living and the dead. And you basically provide them with all of their favorite things throughout their life. And then once you've completed everything that they love, you let them go. And it's like the most beautiful, like, emotional, but also you don't let them go until you're ready. So it's very smart. It's a beautiful game, and I really loved that. And there's also this like cat cafe game that I like playing. It's just I feel like I need things to distract my mind, but also if I can come out of it being like, oh, I feel like I've learned something, then that's like a bonus too. So when I say gaming, I always want to try and get people to try these games, because I'm like, it's not all like
Call of Duty, FIFA, like
no, and like, don't get me wrong, me and Josh play Call of Duty all the time together. We love it, but it's a totally different kind of thing. Totally different.
But even Sims is technically gaming.
Yes,
I know a lot of gaming people will say it is.
No, Sims
is
gaming,
but it does count.
Yeah,
I think
the OG
it's just like
Sims
another
is
form
my
of
favorite,
escapism.
Though.
Yeah.
I downloaded Josh did it, downloaded like something onto my computer that meant that I could play Sims 1, which was the one I played as a kid, because you can't, it's like completely incompatible with all computers now, because it's the tech's too strong. And that one is the most nostalgic to me, because like the music and just the storylines and stuff, and I love Sims. Sims is great. It's great though, because it's the same, like we were saying before, it's just putting your head somewhere else. It's it's focusing on something that's nothing to do with you. And especially with Sims, you're literally just controlling someone that's not you, and putting them in a pool and taking the ladders out and being like, ooh, all the weird dark stuff on Sims.
But I think sometimes that escapist gaming is like really good for loneliness as well.
Oh my god!
Like, when you're
and
lonely,
also it's community
you're escaping
though
into something else,
and you can play with someone else that's halfway across the world. You can make so many friends doing that. Or if your friend also has Animal Crossing, you visit each other's islands, which is like my entire 2020 lockdown was just visiting everyone's islands. I think at one point, actually, because my morning stories basically were born from lockdown, because of, like we were saying before, with the loneliness and not speaking to anybody, I was like, I need to use my voice. I need to actually just speak. So I would start sitting down and doing my morning moisturize, and that was where that's come from, which is really weird because now it's a daily thing that I do all the time. But I think there was a time where I was like, what's everybody's Animal Crossing? And I added like a load of followers on Animal Crossing, and then we were just like chilling on each other's islands for like a couple of days. It was really cute.
Yeah, but I thought that was the best part of, like, I love doing that in lockdown, where you just like go to people's islands and stuff.
It was great. But it's nice because it's a thing that's solely yours. And I think, like I was saying, sometimes I'll play with other people, but actually when I play by myself, that is me carving out time just for myself. It's a game I've chosen. It's not a game I've picked because someone else wants to play it. I'm sat in my own space, maybe with my headphones on, maybe with some music, and I'm just, and that's me. And I think it's very important. It's very hard to find stuff that you truly enjoy. And I also think that when you evolve and change, those things and will leave, and actually not holding any guilt towards that is difficult. Because I've had a lot of friends who were very into sports as like kids and early teens, late teens, and actually letting go of the fact that that's not something that fulfills them anymore was quite difficult. And there was a lot of guilt around that. But you need different things at different points in your life. Like, it changes all the time. It really
and I
does.
Also think sometimes, like, it's quite nice that you could go back to something like that. Like, if you were, like, I've got a friend who has gone back to playing football all the time, and like, just little things like that that just bring you joy.
But you're doing it out of choice rather than out of like, you have to go every week. You're just going because you want to go. And there's something very freeing about that.
But it is so hard, I think, of like finding what you love.
It's a bit of a trial and error thing. I think the just finding a few things you enjoy is very important when you live alone, just so that if you're having a down day, you can kind of reach for them. But then everything else is actually kind of fun because it's a load of trial and error, and you can find things that you kind of never really knew you were interested in, and you're like,
do you know what, this is why TikTok I think is quite handy as well, because I think on TikTok people show you all kinds of hobbies
of
and
new
stuff, or even just like Google hobbies. Like, I know it sounds ridiculous, but if you googled hobbies, it would come up with a list of things, and you can kind of just, as someone listening who maybe wants to find new hobbies, that you could just go through that list and be like, okay, I know I'd never do football, I know I'd never do
crossing
reading
that one off.
I maybe try a book, like you might find a book in a charity shop for a pound, like just try and get into it. It might be that the genre is wrong for you, it might be that you just really don't like reading, but there'll always be a something that resonates, and it's just finding what that something is. And I think online there's such a like, there's like a whole thing about like, oh, everyone's into reading, everyone's into Pilates, everyone's into hot girl walks, everyone's into this, and it just seems like kind of everyone's into the same hobby. And if you don't feel like you're into that, it's so hard to like break away and be like, okay, just because everyone else likes it doesn't mean I need to like it too. And half those people probably don't even like it, they just want it because it's a trend.
I think the thing that's really great about the internet is that there is always a corner of the internet that's just as obsessed with something as you, which granted sometimes it can look like everybody's into the same thing, but I've always found loads of solace. And it, actually a lot in my younger teen years when I was obsessed with like Doctor Who and stuff, I would go onto Tumblr and like My Chemical Romance, and I would go and find my people, and that would make me feel like I had this sense of community even when I felt quite alone. And I think during 2020 I had this similar thing where I would just find corners of the internet that were obsessed with the same things as me, like my 2020 obsession, which is still very much an obsession because I have like a spoon with his face on it, just like on my thingy. I'm gonna get it actually for the people watching the, hold on, if you're not watching then it's just audio.
I really
want to
know
what
this is now.
So it's Adam Driver on a spoon. So love Adam Driver so much, he's like the love of my life. Sorry Josh, but 2020 was like just me loving Adam Driver, and it was like a whole thing with my followers, and that was really fun. But actually finding other people to just be like, look at this photo of him from last week, was so, it felt like a community. It feels like there's such a beautiful side of the internet that allows you to have deep, meaningful connections, or just a quick, meaningful connection with people, random people that you're never going to talk to again, or people that you'll end up making friends with. Like, I have a couple of in-person friends that have come from the internet. It's a beautiful thing. And I think we were very blessed.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Living alone in a time where you can actually make friends online, you don't have to go and find them. So I think that was a real positive that I found living alone, was like, actually, okay, I don't have to actually leave the house, I can still have meaningful social interactions and feel like I'm a part of something. Or like, if you love Sims, just go onto TikTok and type in Sims, and there are so many people that love Sims. Or just like the most niche thing in the world, there will be somewhere, there's always some corner of the internet, especially on TikTok, where there's like some kind of content based around that thing that you
100%.
Like, and it's great. And obviously don't get stuck down a rabbit hole of TikTok, because it's like the easiest thing in the world to do. But
oh my God, I lose hours to TikTok sometimes.
Me too. But it can be great, like you say, for finding hobbies and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you might start, I don't know, enjoying a certain series, and then actually you realize that there's a cross-stitch pattern that is something to do with that series that you just loved, and then you're like, oh, I'll give that a go, you know. And it snowballs.
Or you might just like follow someone who then just does a pottery thing at the pottery club, and you're like, oh, I've never thought to try that before, what,
let's Google
idea.
It I really want to try pottery, that's definitely on my list.
You can literally buy So there's like, I think it's called Clay Club or something, and they literally send you a little kit, and it's like a bit of clay and like all the tools and stuff, and you can do it. Or you can just literally go on Amazon and buy a hunk of clay.
And just buy them, yeah.
Or make salt dough. Salt dough's harder, but like, you can just make it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's just a good way to like try something and just like find a hobby.
Mm-hmm. It is important.
I think a good way to round off this episode is just kind of referring back to our last episode, because we talked a lot about kind of being okay with who you are and like learning to love yourself and understanding who you are. And I think it feeds in so nicely with learning how to be alone. So alongside all of the self-work that you can do, there's also all these hobbies and all these like different like things to navigate.
It's like self-enrichment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Self-work and self-enrichment.
I think we've kind of done like, so this initially was going to be one big episode and we realized it would be better as like two components. So I think we've kind of like done these two little rounded episodes. But I, like I said in the last one, I will leave a Q&A box, because if you wanted to ask any questions, like I'm sure we'll come back and do another one if you've got any.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Maybe we'll pop it on Instagram or something as well, and we can just do like a Q&A. That actually could be quite nice. Maybe we'll do that.
That's,
as you're
fun,
more
though.
Than keen to come back for another one, so it's fine. I
just like talking. I'll just keep talking until you're all sick of me.
But this is the issue, then we end up talking for hours and then we're like, we're off on a complete tangent about something completely different. But hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for coming on for a couple of
weeks. Oh my god,
you're
so welcome. It's been great fun.
We only saw the cat once, which is quite sad. But
I know. She'll be asleep on the fridge. She sleeps on the fridge all day. On top of the fridge.
I'm not surprised. It's probably nice and cold up there at the moment.
It is. Well, she's got a big bed on it. I think that's what it is. She's just like, yeah, she's lazy. Like
flat out done. But we're going to round off the episode here, guys. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope it gave you some useful tips and tricks and all that kind of stuff. But like I said, if you ever want to talk to us, both of our Instagrams will be down in the description box if you want to ask any questions or anything.
I'm not always around.
What's it called? Show notes.
Oh my, you did it again. So you the YouTube ending.
Wait, you can ask any questions you like. It's because I weekly vlog. I'm so used to doing it.
It's fine. I don't worry.
Film. We're not even filming. We are actually recording it as a video.
We're filming, but,
like,
but there's a chance you'll never
see it.
Normally
it's just recording, yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens. But thank you so much for listening, guys. And we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.